Hello, and thank you for listening to this teaching from Freedom Gateway Center. For more information about this teaching and other resources, visit freedomgatewaycenter.com.
Wow! Drumline. Come on. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Man, when we got started, there was less people than there are now. This is fun. Hallelujah. Can we just take a moment and just give God praise? Yeah. Hallelujah! You're worthy of our praise, worthy of our adoration, worthy of all of our worship. Hallelujah! 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 Yeah. I knew you had it in you. Well, I am excited to share with you this morning. I've got some things in my heart, and I feel like the Lord has given me a message as far as going into 2020 and some things that are very practical for us as a body to be able to do. But I don't want to start until I just recognize that in the midst of all of the celebration and all of the lights and all of the gifts and all of the food, there's always pain and suffering that goes on in the midst of that. I know that there are some that are not here this morning because they were struggling. There are some that are not here this morning because they weren't well. And I just want people to know our heart goes out to you this morning. We recognize that in the midst of great celebration, there still can be great trial and pain. And our Savior knows that very well. And so I just want to pray for people right now. We've had a lot of people sick this week. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, the healer, the great physician, we call upon your empowerment to those in the body and those that are hearing this morning that are requiring healing in their bodies, healing in their minds, healing in their broken spirits and broken hearts. We're calling on your healing power to flow now in the name of Jesus Christ. We stand as ambassadors and agents of the kingdom, and we are declaring your healing power over our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we thank you in advance for it. We are confident, we are assured, we are expectant, and we stand fully in faith and confidence boldly before your throne of grace this morning in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Well, John tried to change the message this morning. He said, peace and hope. I'm actually going to talk about joy and hope this morning, but peace is part of that. When I got up this morning, I was spending some time with the Lord, and I heard Psalm 43:5. You don't have it back there. That's okay. But it's, why are you so downcast or in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall praise him, the help of my countenance, my God. And I just felt like that was a word for somebody this morning. That's a word for somebody that's here this morning or somebody's listening. But because of the struggle that you've been in, because of the trial, the fiery trial that you've experienced, your soul has been in despair. And I'm here to tell you that hope is here today. The hope of glory is here today. And the hope of glory never fails, never disappoints. He is here today, and he will deliver in Jesus' name. So as I've been spending some time with the Lord over the past few weeks, I always ask him, as we're going into the new year, What do you want me to consider? What do you want me pursuing in this new year? Now, I don't know if you guys do that or not. These are not resolutions. These are directions. These are marching orders from the Lord. So I ask him about my life. I ask him about the life of us together. And I felt like the two words that he gave me that we are to perfect and cultivate in our walk this year is joy and hope. See, the intercessors for the past few seasons have been hearing the word joy. They've been actually praying joy into the house. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit of God that resides on the inside of you. It's also the nature of who God is. But the way it's released in the house is through you and through me. It's not something that supernatural just comes. It can, but it's also something that we have to cultivate in our lives. It's a choice, even when we don't feel like it. And even when the circumstances don't line up. And when joy is released in the midst of crazy circumstances, it becomes a sign and a wonder to the world. What are you doing, you crazy person, praising God in the midst of your trial and test? But James, in the first book, addresses it pretty confidently. Consider it all joy. And I'm telling you, why does that grate against our flesh? Why does that cause us to be irritated when we hear that? See, we in our natural man say, I need my circumstances to line up, then I'll be happy. But the spiritual man says, I release my joy knowing that the circumstances must line up. Yes. See, joy is an internal state that has an external manifestation in our lives. The kingdom of God consists of righteousness, peace, and joy. The citizens of God's kingdom rule and reign with these attributes. Righteousness is being equitable in character or act, meaning fair and impartial, not judgy. Peace means to join, to bring prosperity, quietness, and rest, body, soul, and spirit. You're not divided, you're not separated, you're all one. Why do I know that? Being in healthcare for so many years. When I'm agitated, when I'm frustrated, when I'm upset, it has a physiological effect on my body. I'm not separated. When I think poorly of people, I can see where it has an effect not only on my thinking, on my emotions, but on my body. We are not dualistic or divided. We are all together, and peace needs to invade every single part of who we are. Joy means to be calmly, cheerful, happy, well off, being able to express gladness. As these attributes are being released by kingdom dwellers, kingdom rule and reign can be brought into every situation, into every circumstance. How do I know this? I've lived it for the last year. We've had one of the most trying years family-wise. We have been tried in our soul. But you know what? We have exercised joy. We have exercised peace. We have exercised hope. And we have seen such turnaround and transformation and impartation and influence, and things that looked so differently a year ago look so differently now. Is it because the circumstances changed? No, we changed. Our thoughts changed. Our emotions changed. The way that we approach something changed. Fiery trial doesn't have to be bad, folks. James said that we will have trials. We will have tests. When you say yes to Jesus Christ, they don't end, they accelerate. And they are for the perfection and the maturing of your faith so that nothing is missing, nothing is lacking. I love the Christmas carol that Randy referred to last week, Joy to the World. I love the declaration. I love the energy. I love the statement of joy over and over again. Joy is always associated with the coming of Christ. The angel shared the good news with the shepherds that they would experience great joy. They experienced great joy. When Mary came into the presence of Elizabeth, John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb leapt with joy. He recognized the Messiah. He recognized the coming King. Many of the parables that Jesus shared about the kingdom, he shared, and in his words, they brought great joy. Joy should always be associated with the entrance of Christ coming into our world. Not just this world, but this world too. See, the angel gave four different aspects in Luke 2:10. Fear not, I bring you good news. What's the gospel? Good news. I bring you great joy, and it's for all men. So we're to mirror that. We're not to walk in fear. We're not to walk in bad news. I refuse to post bad news on social media. Somebody else can do that. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. And those who dwell in it will reflect those qualities. Somebody says, well, somebody's got to speak the truth. In love, in love, in love. Yes. But when you lose your joy and you lose your peace, there's something wrong, folks. Great joy is to be ours. So in the second verse of Joy to the World, first verse he says, Lord has come. Second verse he says, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. What does that mean? Isaac Watts, when he said men, he meant humankind, mankind. Mankind was to be the leading voice in bringing all creation to sing in the articulate praise to God. Your voice, your song, is to be the leading voice to lead creation to sing the articulate praise of God. To employ something means you put it to work. I'm putting my songs to work for the Lord. Creation can't initiate it. They mirror it. That's the repeating joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Creation repeats that. So redemption came to the earth in Jesus Christ, born of woman, born of God. But he came not only to redeem, but he came for us to rule and to bless. And he's inviting us to partner with him in that process today. Our joy is to be an expression of his goodness, of his loving kindness. Revelation 19:10 says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The Apostle Paul said, I wish you all would prophesy. How do you all prophesy? You got the testimony of Jesus. If you're not prophesying the goodness of who God is, then I would challenge your testimony of Jesus. I can't help think about good about him. I can't help think about how he's saved. I can't help but think about how he's delivered, where I was and where I am now. I can't help think about the fact that he's healed my body over and over again. He's brought financial blessing into my life. Even during times of lack, I never begged for bread. I can't help think about that. There isn't any social system in the world that will guarantee that to me. There isn't any system in the world that will guarantee peace and hope and joy to me. Our joy is to be his expression of goodness. Joy is not only felt, it is a fruit. When we lived in our first house, it was a 180-year-old farmhouse. And there was fruit trees on the property. They were at least 100 years old. The apples were about this big. I went, wow, what kind of apples are those? Are those like crab apples? Randy's like, no, those are regular apples. What did we do? We trimmed the trees way back. I remember Randy trimming a tree. I walked out and went, I don't know if that's going to survive. It looked like a branch sticking up out of the ground. It looked worse than a Charlie Brown tree. And I was like, man, I hope he knows what he's doing. But I'm telling you, we fertilized him. We did some pesticide because there was a lot of critters on him. And the next year, we had these beautiful, big apples. And it took a few years before they started tasting good. But at least they looked different and they grew different. Fruit has to be cultivated. Your trials, your hardships, your suffering is to cultivate fruit in your life. I'm not here to tell you that suffering is bad. I'm here to tell you suffering is good. You know, when the medical profession created the aspirin, it was probably one of the worst creations ever because it told people that they didn't need to handle pain. There's pain in life. There's pain in grief. There's pain in loss. And that's okay to feel that. But use it to cultivate fruit. Don't use it to become negative. Don't use it to become disconnected. Use it for the glory of God. Use it to expand and mature and grow in God's precious kingdom. The spiritual discipline of walking in joy allows us to walk in the Spirit, no longer under the law, no longer having to give over to the demands of our flesh. It allows us to count it all joy, experiencing the greatest joy in the midst of the hardest things. We mature and we grow stronger through our trials, as our faith is tested. Wow. Do you believe that, church? Do you believe that? Have you experienced that in your life? One of the things I can relate to is childbirth. Tremendous pain. But when that baby is born, wow. Who cares what I went through? That baby is in my arms, and I don't remember that pain any longer. That's where we're to be as we mature in our faith. Letting that pain and that suffering and those trials mature us and cause us to be perfected in our faith. James says it this way, "My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. And then, as your endurance grows stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing, nothing lacking." How many people want to live in a state of nothing missing, nothing lacking? Yeah, well, it's going to take some work. It's going to take some intention. It's going to take some commitment and discipline. It's like getting up for a job every morning. Right, Rick? Man, some mornings you just don't want to do it. But when you do it, and at the end of the day, you can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the ability to do this. Thank you for the stamina and the energy. Thank you for the provision. God, you're so good. Joy is our passport. It is a verification of our citizenship in kingdom living. It allows us to travel and to move forward in faith, passing over the assaults of thoughts and emotions without the confirmation of our natural sight, but seen with the eyes through our faith, anchored in hope. See, we want to see what we're moving towards. I was praying with one of my children on the phone yesterday, and I was declaring something over their life, and they said, Mom, I don't see it. I said, well, then it's not faith. Because Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence or the conviction of things not seen. When we step out in faith, we may not see the final destination. We may not see the manifestation. The door may be open, but we may not understand where that door is opening to. But we have to understand who the doorkeeper is, how his goodness is towards us, how his benefit is for us, how he has shaped our lives to glorify him in everything that we do and say. Joy escorted Jesus through the most difficult task, to hang on a cross for your sins and mine. How did he do it? The joy that was set before him. How many people have kids? And how many have experienced difficulty with your kids? And what sustains you in the midst of that? Hope and joy. You don't speak to the things that you see. You speak to the things that you don't see. And you have to be able to recognize that faith is the assurance of things hoped for. See, the 11th chapter of Hebrews is filled with those who had an encounter with God, heard his heart and his promise, and stood in faith. To name a few, Noah. It's raining outside right now, but Noah didn't know what rain was. Noah didn't even know what a boat was. God said, go build a boat. Rain's coming. Abraham. God says to Abraham, Abram, go. Where? Go. How would you like it if somebody said, go? You'd want to know where. But Abram became Abraham because of the testing of his faith. Sarah. An angel says in her older age, you're going to have a baby. What? She laughed at the angel. She felt it was physically impossible. These are people that experienced encounters with God, that promises were spoken over them. See, hope is birthed from God, the hope of glory, and it's given to us to partner with him by walking in faith. Hebrews 6:19-20 says this, this hope we have as an anchor of our soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus entered through the veil. Jesus, hope of glory, went before you in order for you to have hope. Get it? Your hope isn't created out of your expectation of how something might be turned out. Your hope is an assurance of things that are unseen to be manifest in the physical world. Hope is to be our anchor. Faith is to assure us and give us confidence to continue on. And joy is the delivery method or the stabilizer until the thing that we hope for becomes seen. How many of you have ever sailed before? A stabilizer is something that goes down into the water that helps the boat stay on course, so it's not being tippy. In a chemical compound, a stabilizer keeps something from turning into something else. It keeps it stable. Anchor holds a boat from going adrift. Jesus wants you to have an anchor for your faith. You're not just out there drifting around. He's got an anchor available for you. Yeah. Naomi and Joe, would you come up, please? Rest of the team, you can come on up too. I just want to share a brief story. These guys have given me the privilege of being able to do that. And please correct me if I get any of the details wrong. I'm good with that. But many of you know these guys. They're here all the time, but some of you don't know their backstory. So I kind of want to fill you in a little bit. So Joe and Naomi met in Canada when Joseph was an intern at Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship, right? And so they fell in love, they decided to get married, and made plans to do that in the U.S. Naomi was traveling to the U.S. for her wedding, was stopped at the border, and was denied entrance. Okay, just think about that. Wedding day, wedding dress, all the plans, can't come in. So she returned home. They eventually got married in Canada. And then did you live apart for 4 years? Three and a half years, 4 years, somewhere around there. So they lived apart. They would meet somewhere, sometimes in Windsor, sometimes Joseph would go to Ottawa, where Naomi and her family are from, but they lived apart for that long. And then finally, they were able to, through their immigration attorney, find out that Naomi could cross the border, but she couldn't go back, and she could work on her immigration from this side. So all of these unknowns, all of these things that are happening in the background. So they're traveling around, trying to look for their forever home, moving from place to place, experiencing a lot of stuff financially in between all of that. Yet they had a hope to be together. They had a hope for a home. They have a hope for a family. And all of these things were hopes, but not all of them were seen in their full manifestation. Okay, you guys go ahead and get your stuff together here. I want to do a visual demonstration of hope and joy. So Ian is going to be God. Don't let his head get all blown up here today. All right. So, yep, there you go, because I want them to be able to walk through. So they're hanging onto this rope as their anchor. This is their hope. And so they're going to start to walk through these situations and circumstances, And all of these things are presenting themselves as they're walking through. Yet they're having to continue to keep expressing joy. They're having to continue to keep their thoughts stayed on what God has given to them. They are continuing to walk through the situation, even though it hasn't manifested, until they get to the throne of God and they begin to see manifestation. So I wanted you to be able to see that. I'm a visual person. I need to be able to see what God is doing in the midst. Now, they're still waiting for a couple of manifestations to take place, but man, they have a forever home now. Naomi's parents are here celebrating with her. They got surprised about hearing about the home. You know, there's just a lot of good things happening. They're here together now, living life. They're here as an integral part of this body. But these things didn't go away. These thoughts, these emotions didn't go away. They had to walk through them. They had to keep exercising hope. They had to keep exercising faith and joy in the midst of the circumstance. Amen? Thank you, guys. Ian, you're a very calm God. Loving too. Let's talk about lament for a second. The psalm that I started out with was a lament psalm. One third of the psalms were laments. God knows you're going to be disappointed. God knows you're going to be disheartened and discouraged. And he has made a way for you to come before his throne of grace boldly and to be able to proclaim that to him. He's big enough to handle it. He's big enough to handle your cries. He's big enough to handle your anger and your frustration. He's big enough to handle your panic. He's big enough to handle it all. What he doesn't want you to do is to spread it all over. He wants you to bring it to him. But there's such peace when you can go before a loving God and tell him how you feel. But as the psalmist David did at the end of each psalm, he said, "But you, God." And he always went back to who God was. He always went back to the loving attributes of who God was. He always went back to the faithfulness of who God is. Dis, before a word, means a reversing force, apart, asunder. So if I'm disappointed, I'm not appointed properly in God's kingdom. The reversing effect has taken place. If I'm discouraged, I don't have the courage to walk through the fiery trials that are before me. If I'm disheartened, I don't have the heart or the intention to stay at it, to stay through the delayed answers, to stay through the loss, to stay through the panic. How many of you have ever had a panic situation where you can't change it unless God comes in and does something? And look, you're all sitting here today, and you're all here to worship him, and you're all here to declare his faithfulness because he's a good God. We can't continue to walk in fear and oppression in 2020. We need clear vision. God is calling us to leave that behind. He's not given you a spirit of fear, but that of love and mind, a sound mind and power. He's empowered you to walk through these trials. He's empowered you to walk through these testings and temptations. Because he knows you're going to be perfected in your faith with nothing missing, nothing lacking. I'd like to do a couple of things this morning. I'd like for you to gather with a couple of people, and I'm going to ask families to not gather together. I want to have you just share, what is your hope for 2020? Let's take about 5 minutes to do that, and then we're going to gather back together again, okay? Come on now. I've been working hard. You got to work now. You on the stream, do the same. Write down your expectations for 2020. Do we have a 2-minute timer you can put up? One minute. This is good. Hope is arising in the room. Got a timer up there. Finish up with the person you're praying with, 10 seconds. All right. One of the things that I'm mindful of is that some of you may need a father's blessing going into 2020. Some of you may need to just know the touch of the Father this morning as you're just committing your heart to the direction that God is calling us to. So if that's you, I want to invite you to come forward, because I'm going to ask Apostle Randy to just lay hands on your head and just give you a father's blessing. So some of you may need that this morning. It was, if you need a father's blessing to go into 2020, to set your heart for joy and hope. Yeah, it's probably good. I was going to call you up here, but only kidding. All right, let me give you the elevator version of what I just said, okay? And then he can begin to pray over you. Here's the elevator version. Joy is an internal state that has external manifestation in our lives.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Freedom Gateway Center.
Faith assures
for more teachings
us
and other resources, visit freedomgatewaycenter.com.
To continue on, and counting it all joy, walking in hope and endurance through trials perfects us in our faith, where nothing is missing and nothing is lacking. So, Apostle, why don't you go ahead and pray? Rob, can you maybe help him? And I am just going to speak an apostolic prayer over you as you're waiting to be prayed for. This is out of Romans 15, verse 13. Now may God, the inspiration and the fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his super abundance until you radiate with hope. God, we thank you this morning for hope. We thank you for joy. We thank you that you've given us a delivery method to get through our testings and our trials, our pain and our suffering. God, you haven't left us alone. You haven't left us to our own device to try to figure it out. You've given us your joy and your hope. And we thank you for that this morning. We thank you that we can exercise those and have confidence and assurance in our faith this morning. That as we go through these trials and testings, as we go through these places, these hard places, these dark nights of our souls, that we recognize that hope is our anchor pulling us through, and joy is our ability to weather the storm. So God, we thank you in Jesus' name for hope and for joy. We will cultivate it in our lives. We will cultivate it in our lives. And God, we thank you in Jesus' name for everything that you are doing, everything that you are speaking, everything that you've promised. All your promises are yes and amen. And we thank you, God. You're faithful. In Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, amen. If you haven't been prayed for, don't